You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, welcome to Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show coming at you straight from the surface of our moon. If you hear beeping, that means our oxygen is running out, so keep an ear open.
Yeah, watch out for that.
I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
I'm Josh.
Oh no. I'm standing on his oxygen tube.
Oh gosh,
tube. I'm sorry.
God. Okay, here we go. All right.
Is that better?
Better?
Oh, I'm Josh.
Thank you all for tuning in. We have a great show for you this week. A bunch of news to go over, but first, let's talk about a few things we have been checking out through this fine week.
That was called good improv. We worked right
through that. We did the improv. Yes, and.
Comedy yeah. comes in threes.
Yes, and. Let's see. Check it out.
I guess I can go first. Oh, sorry.
Go for it.
Yeah, go for it.
Let's see here. I have been playing Yakuza 0.
Very good choice. Always a good choice to play Yakuza games.
Well, I've decided to, like you talk about it a lot, and I was like, you know what? I'll give them a shot. And by shot, I mean
punch.
Get
punch.
In fist fights with people and watch people cut their pinkies off.
But also, like, play classic games and...
Oh, yeah. Like, so far, though, all I've really done is play darts, do karaoke, and play pool.
The karaoke is hilarious, though.
The dancing in the nightclub is hard.
Oh, yeah. You got to be in the right position and doing the right move at the right time.
Oh, it's yeah. so stupid.
But the animations are great.
Oh, man. He's so... like, given his demeanor, like, the way he dances and stuff, I was like, it doesn't match up at all, and it's hilarious.
Kiryu is a many-faceted individual.
Yeah, like the karaoke, like the very first karaoke one you do with your buddy...
Nishi.
Yeah, Nishi. It's like, I'm like, oh my god. Like, there's like the whole like dream sequence where they have like headbands and they're playing like in a rock band.
Yeah.
I was like, oh man. I'm gonna love this game.
So all of this fun stuff in a game where you're a Yakuza member and you're like also beating people up and doing crimes.
Yeah, so far, though, all I've really done is beat people up who pick fights with me. So.
Well, then, yeah, sure, yeah.
Kiryu's not the kind to just beat somebody up for no reason.
Sure.
I mean, yeah. That does open to you beating a businessman in an alley for a shakedown.
Yeah. He's a pretty honorable dude, though. He's not...
Oh, yeah.
He's not a Grand Theft Auto man.
Oh, no.
That's right. I like Yakuza so much more than Grand Theft Auto, because that's kind of what it is.
Mm-hmm. With less driving.
Yeah, with no driving and no shooting. Well, I mean, there is shooting, but it doesn't play like a shooter. It's more like Streets of Rage than anything else, really.
Oh, no, I've been enjoying it. I'm not terribly far. I've been kicked out of the family, and I'm kind of like doing like a investigation right now.
I feel like there's a part in every Yakuza game where you get kicked out of the family at some point, but yeah. Zero is probably my favorite of the ones I've played.
I mean, I'm enjoying it. Part of me is like hating the loading screens.
They got rid of those in six. So
oh,
if you
good.
Get six,
there's
it doesn't load
there's
anymore.
So many. And sometimes it feels almost retro in a way, because like the game, like the menus and the way everything looks, it feels like an older game.
Yeah, it has a tradition it's stuck to. A lot of Japanese games get that way where like. This is what kind of game we've made, and we're going to stick to it. That's why when Zelda changes to Breath of the Wild, it's such a big deal, because we're used to these same traditions.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I've been playing it. I've been really liking it.
I love how you can, if you don't want to do a fight, you can distract them by just tossing money into the air.
Yeah, I haven't done that yet.
I think you have to get to a certain point where you can do that, because... It's all about the 1980s Japanese bubble economy where everybody has all this money.
Yeah. Man, I have so much money.
That game is so good at putting you in a place that feels real. Like, it feels like you're really in, you know, Japan or whatever. What's the place called?
Oh,
It's a fictional place that's based on an actual place. And
it's a fictional part of Tokyo.
Yamamoto.
Yeah. Mm.
And... Every game really put you into this place and that feels like a real physical place, but this one adds time to it, and it feels like you're in a real physical place in a real period of time.
Oh, it's so 80s and so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like neon lights everywhere, and it's... I went to a convenience store and I was looking at magazines on the shelves.
Yeah, you can look at the old 80s magazine covers. It's really
I was sitting there and I'm like flipping through and I'm like, what's Hot Dog? It's a fashionable gentleman's magazine, like a GQ.
Oh, jeez.
I was like, why Hot Dog? And then I looked at the shonen and like the guy on the cover totally looked like a JoJo character.
Oh, probably.
Because that was about that time.
The 80s, sure. Yeah.
It's always JoJo time.
But it is.
Oh, true. Yeah. True, true, true.
I hope we get a review copy of Yakuza Kiwami 2, because that's coming out soon.
That'd be nice. That'd be.
Oh, yeah, I bought Kiwami 1, too, but I haven't played it yet.
Yeah, wait till you finish 0. It's Kiwami 1 will feel kind of a retread.
Oh, will it?
Like, it's not that different, but it's still good.
Yeah, because I know it's a remake of 1.
Yeah.
Let's see here. What else?
But Zero is a lot bigger. This will feel smaller and kind of weird in comparison.
Oh, okay.
But it's still worth playing.
All right. Man, I played a bunch of stuff on the PlayStation Now. I went back and played Poker Night 2.
Oh, that's such a good game.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. Is that the one with Strong Bad?
No.
Was that, that was Poker Night 1, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's the one with Brock Sampson, Claptrap.
That's the one. Yeah.
Ash from Evil Dead and Sam. Max.
Also, Max is there, but he's not playing.
Yeah.
Max played in 1, and it was weird because Sam wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
And then it put me in the mood to try to go back and play the Sam and Max games they have on the PlayStation Now. They don't control real well on the console.
Oh, no, I imagine not, because they're very mouse-driven.
Like, I'm sitting there, like, I can't click on certain things I want to click on. I'm like, I hate this. This is awful.
They're good on the Wii. Well, I have the first season on the Wii, but that's basically a mouse. It's a pointing device.
Pretty much, yeah.
mouse.
Those games are so good, though. I wish everybody would play a Sam and Max, so they would make a new one.
That would be great.
That's what I want out of Telltale more than anything, is for them to just make a game that's funny again.
Yeah.
I've never played a Sam and Max game, but it looks so goofy.
It is.
They're great.
Their back and forth is so always hilarious. Mm-hmm.
I mean, the back and forth they have in Poker Night is pretty funny.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I'm glad they added both Sam and Max in the second one, because Max by himself is funny, but the whole point is their back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're sitting there and they're talking about like how kind of off Max is. And like Max is like sitting back in like the booth and like
he's a little booster seat.
Yeah, and he's like hey Sam, I think I've hit brain. He's like picking his nose or something. I'm like, oh my god. And also reminded me how bad I am at poker.
Oh, I'm awful at poker, but I enjoy those games.
I do enjoy it a lot. And then like, of course, there's quips from GLaDOS, and I'm like, man, I love Portal.
Yeah, the Claptrap is the low point of that game.
Yeah. Other than that, I've watched both the CG anime Godzilla films on Netflix.
Are they good?
Planet of the Monsters and City at the Age of Battle or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
They're not bad. They're it's hard to explain. They're different. Godzilla is less a character in the movie, is more of a almost like a force of nature or a set piece.
Like early Godzilla films.
Yeah, yeah.
Like how Godzilla should... Well, no, I'm not going to say that. I was going to say like Godzilla should be, but there's room for both.
No, there is room for both. There's positives and negatives to both.
I'm about to say, some
ends.
Of my favorite Godzilla movies are ones that are very Godzilla-centric.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where Godzilla does the little dance and is, you know, here to... Yeah.
Yeah, you can't get silly Godzilla if you've got Force of Nature Godzilla. And right. They're both the good in
they're
different ways.
They're both good.
Yeah. I mean, they're different. I don't like the main character a lot, but also there's some anime tropes in there that are a little annoying. Like he likes to scream a lot, not like a My Hero Academia way, but
God,
more like he's just angry all the time, kind of a way.
Yeah.
Have you gotten any further in My Hero Academia?
4 episodes in, I hit the wall. I can't. He just screams and cries so much.
I mean, that sounds
like
me.
Can't do it.
But that's just,
But you haven't gotten to where it's good.
Probably not, because it's not super great right now.
That's all right. All Might really makes that show.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's the best part of that show.
And all the other characters, once you get to when he's in school, are so good. It's just that Midoriya is the worst character. He's not the worst character. That's Mineta. But he's not. He's so bland. He's like he's the Ash Ketchum of the show. Nobody cares about him.
No, I would prefer Ash Ketchum, because at least Ash Ketchum doesn't scream and cry every episode. Constantly, all the time, forever.
That's true. He's going through a lot right now. He just got his powers.
All Might might be his dad.
I don't think All Might. No, I know. I mean, you could argue it.
There's the joke in the fandom that All Might and Midoriya's mom are like really close.
But yeah, All Might is so great. He might be one of my favorite anime characters of all time.
Man, it takes a lot of black to draw his face. Like the way all the deep, 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 super deep shadows go.
Mm-hmm. It's American comics look.
Yeah, I know.
That's what
they're
trying to do, yeah.
Let's see here. But yeah, the Godzillas are, I don't know, they're not bad. There's just a lot of, I don't know, there's just a lot going on in it. And there's like this weird, super weird sci-fi techno-futurism in it. Because it takes place in the super far future, and then they leave Earth for 20 years, but because of the warp travel they use to get back, 20,000 years on Earth has passed. So, like, humanity and Earth is no way what it used to be. Like,
that is a lot. That is a high concept for a Godzilla.
Oh, yeah. Like, the whole thing series. Like, the whole thing with the movie is the fact that humans abandoned Earth and they come back. The ecosystem.
And Godzilla's like, what the heck?
No, like the ecosystem of the Earth has basically evolved to serve Godzilla as its dominant species.
Yeah, it's Kaiju Earth now.
But not. like, there's monsters and stuff, and plants and like plants that you can't cut with a knife because they have Godzilla cells in them.
That's an interesting concept, but you're right. It is a lot for Godzilla.
The second movie is very Mothra reference heavy, though.
Cool.
Oh, that's cool. I like Mothra.
And then the third movie is going to feature Ghidra.
I was going to say it's either Ghidra or Rodan. Those are the other two major ones.
King Ghidorah.
Yeah, King Ghidorah he's definitely like the Godzilla antagonist. When you think of like monsters that Godzilla fights, you've got like a billion of them, but it's really all about that stupid three-headed golden dragon.
It's either him or Mechagodzilla.
Yeah, there's a lot of
Biollante.
I hate Biollante. And Hydra, the trash monster. Ugh, so stupid.
I've put a lot of time into Unavowed, which is the newest point and click adventure game from Wajidai.
Wait, you play point and click adventure games?
Yeah.
No one would ever guess.
I haven't in a while. This is the first one in a long time. And it's brand new, just came out. It's very, very good. The story is excellent. It's like an urban fantasy thing.
Mm-hmm.
Where your character, which you can choose your gender and your backstory.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty dope.
From three different backstories that you play through. And before the game starts, you were possessed by a demon, and you did a whole bunch of terrible stuff. And the Unavowed, which is a group of people who fight supernatural things in New York, exorcise the demon out of you, and the game involves going back through and finding out what you did when you were possessed and trying to fix it and trying to stop this demon. it's really good. Like I said, the writing is excellent. You get to make your like party of characters, which is different for a point and click. You'll like get more people into the Unavowed over time. They each have their own skills you can use to solve different puzzles and abilities. Like one guy can talk to ghosts. So if you see a ghost in an area, if you have him with you, you can talk to that ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Gary. Talk to this guy. Okay. Boo, boo, boo.
Or there's a guy that's a fire mage, so if you need something with fire, he can help you through that.
Okay, cool.
And they have cool like party conversations while you're walking around, like in a BioWare game would have.
Mm-hmm.
So it picks and chooses a lot of stuff from like BioWare games and RPGs and kind of implants them into a point and click adventure game, and it does it really well.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah, sounds cool.
Yeah, the only issue is, like, it's segmented into different areas, and once you go into an area, you can't leave until you've finished it.
No.
So if you get stuck in that area, you're stuck in that area. Which kind of sucks, because most adventure games, they'll give you more than one thing to do at a time. Mm-hmm. So if you go one way and get stuck and can't figure it out, you've at least got something else you can work on. But not in this one. And I think that's just because of all the variables. Like, you could be one of three different characters. You can have one of four different people with you at that time. And, like, I understand why it's the way it is, but it still, it kind of sucks.
It's frustrating.
In that way. The game doesn't suck. The game's amazing. It's only like $15, I think, maybe $13, because it just came out and it's on sale. But I would 100%, you know, seal of approval recommend.
Oh, excellent.
Unavowed.
Cool. Good deal.
Speaking of urban fantasies, you reminded me, I watched Bright.
Oh, oh man, no. I'm sorry. I heard that's very bad.
Oh, man, was it a stinker.
Yeah, it's not great. I got about 10 minutes into it and couldn't do it.
Like, it had so much potential.
Yeah.
Like, I saw the Centaur Riot Cop, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
No.
No, it's not.
No.
Isn't that just, like, Shadowrun?
Low-tech, low-fantasy Shadowrun.
It's Alienation.
Yeah, it is. Except the message isn't as good.
Yeah.
Well, it's by, what's his name?
Max Landis,
so no wonder it's
like,
terrible.
Like, half the time it almost seems like Will Smith himself is just phoning it in.
And well, he is. He knew it was a Netflix movie and was like, yeah, it's a paycheck.
Also, his character has, like, no character development. He's a jerk at the beginning. He's a jerk at the end. The best character in the whole stupid movie is the orc cop, Nick.
Isn't Max Landis's company called, like, Trigger Warning Entertainment or something?
Yes.
Something. Yeah, yes. Yeah, because he's so edgy.
Like, the makeup was really good, and some of the special effects were really good, but beyond anything else, it was not a good movie. I was incredibly disappointed, but I was also going in with very low expectations.
That's even worse. Like, you knew it was going to be bad, and then it's like, oh, God, this is worse than I thought.
I had a hard time sitting through the whole thing. I really did.
It's rough. I don't give up on movies often, but, like...
Yeah, you're a stronger man than I. I can't even start the thing.
Couldn't do it. I'll get back to it at some point, but, like...
I wouldn't.
I wouldn't recommend it.
You're doing yourself a service.
Yeah. Well, you know, I can do mine real quick. I somehow stumbled into an accidental Alan Rickman marathon this week that is still ongoing. I watched three different Alan Rickman films. First one was Galaxy Quest.
We were talking about it.
That's what was kind of kicked it off, because we were like, oh, yeah, watch Galaxy Quest. Holds up. Best Star Trek movie. The best.
It is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
It's Khan very, very
is
good.
The best Star Trek movie.
I don't know. Have you seen Khan lately?
It's probably been like 8 years.
It's very talky.
Well, it's Star Trek.
That's true. That is Star Trek, but... I don't know. Galaxy Quest. I love Galaxy Quest.
I mean, by Grapthar's hammer,
you shall be avenged. Yeah.
and it's crazy. The portion of our show where we quote Galaxy Quest.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
All the time.
Yeah. But it's crazy to see some of the like background actors that ended up going on and doing other
bigger things. Yeah.
Yeah. Dwight is one of from The Office. Rainn Wilson is one of the background aliens. On the ship.
Oh, he is.
Yeah.
I forgot. And
one of the two lead aliens, he's the guy who recruits Ryan Reynolds into the program in Deadpool 1.
Yep. Because I remember that he keeps making fun of him. So I'm like, that's the dude from Galaxy Quest.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, it's really good. Highly recommended. The second one was one that I had never seen. And I'll be honest, if I wasn't made to sit down and watch it, I probably would never have gone to it. I watched Sense and Sensibility, which is not exactly my forte. I'm not a period
Jane Austen.
Yeah. Not typically that type of fan, but it was fine. It was good.
He has such a minor part in that movie.
But he is in it. That's the point.
No, I mean, he's in it. He does have a pretty major part, actually. I mean, he's very important at the very beginning. He kind of filters in a little bit, and then he's very important at the end.
Yeah.
I mean, it was fine. I kind of knew what the twists were going to be. They telegraph him a mile away, but
it's
a
Jane Austen. They're all very similar.
Mm-hmm. But it was very well acted. I mean, Kate Winslet and Emma Thompson. Hugh Laurie has a bit part. He's probably my favorite character in the whole film.
Oh yeah,
because
he's a jerk.
He just sits back and like
reads the paper.
Yeah, he sits back and reads the paper. His wife is like a debutante or whatever, and she's like
socialite.
Yeah. She's always saying these things, and there's what she's saying is like completely like factually wrong, and he's just back there sitting back being snarkily like. Correcting her not correcting, but like just saying, no, that's not it. No.
Yeah. He is probably my favorite character.
But
in that movie.
He's pretty great.
But as far as like those movies go, or like the, not even just the movies, cause there's the mini series.
Movies.
You mean those movies?
No. Pride and Prejudice.
Sure.
I really like Pride and Prejudice.
Yeah.
Both
fine.
Of them.
Yeah.
And then, the best version of Pride and Prejudice ever,
with zombies.
No. Bridget Jones's Diary.
Yeah, I never saw the Pride and Prejudice with zombies.
I heard it's terrible.
It's not great.
The book wasn't good either.
No. And the third one we watched was Die Hard. Because, Die Hard, which is
a great movie.
Holds up 100%. I still argue that it is
not a Christmas movie.
It's not a Christmas movie. It's a movie set at Christmas. There's a distinct distinction.
If it were a Christmas movie, you probably wouldn't have wanted to watch it. In August.
Yeah. No, my argument has always been, if you take Christmas out of the movie, set it at any other holiday, it would still work. With very minor adjustments, it would still work. Whereas you have a movie like Nightmare Before Christmas, where if you take the Christmas out of that, there is no plot. It does not work.
It also could be a Halloween movie, though, too.
I think it's more of a Christmas movie than a Halloween movie because
Christmas in the title.
Yeah,
for one.
Well, you take the Halloween setting out of Nightmare Before Christmas, you get a story about a guy who wants to be Santa Claus.
Yeah.
You take the Christmas out of Nightmare Before Christmas, get some skeleton man who
you get 10 minutes of a Halloween special.
But you could watch it at either time.
You could watch it at either time, but it's more of a Christmas movie than it is a Halloween movie.
Yeah.
Speaking of like Alan Rickman things, have you ever seen Love Actually?
I haven't. That's on the list.
I have not.
That's a good movie.
Yep, Love Actually is on the list.
It's probably one of my favorite romantic comedy films. Mm-hmm. But it's like one of those ones where you have like a billion actors in it. Like a bunch of mini stories.
Oh yeah, no, I know the general plot.
Yeah, they all kind of intersect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but no, that's on the list.
He's a jerk.
Between
that one,
I know Robin Hood is on the list because he's Sheriff of Nottingham.
Oh yeah,
I know Dogma is on the list.
Say, yeah,
because
you need to watch
that's
Dogma
there.
If you're going on a Rickman bench.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You got about eight
Rick Marathon.
You got about eight Harry Potter movies to get through.
Probably, well, Harry Potter, sure.
Dogma's probably the best Kevin Smith movie.
Oh, that's my favorite of them. Yeah,
it's definitely the one with like the most grander scope
and the most well put together.
Yeah, I used to be one of those guys that was like, "Oh man, Chasing Amy's the best one he's done." It does not hold up in any way,
shape,
or form.
Oh no,
in today's,
I can't see that. Yeah.
No. Oh my God. There's no. It is hard to watch.
Yeah, you say that though, but
of its time,
Jersey Girl.
Well,
I didn't think that was that.
Jersey Girl was fine.
It doesn't really do anything all that interesting, but
at the same time,
ways to kill an
but at
hour.
The same time, yeah. It's not part of the
Views,
Jersey Chronicles or whatever.
The Views universe. Yeah. No, but I really think Dogma is probably his best of the bunch.
Yeah.
Plus, Hitchhiker's Guide is going to be in there because
he's the sad robot.
He's the sad robot.
That's a good movie.
And I'm sure there's going to be even more like more obscure ones that he was.
He's
in.
Voiced a lot of stuff.
He's
too,
done a lot of things. Yeah.
Wasn't I want to say Alan Rickman's in a like when he was really young? There was an old Shakespeare.
Probably.
There was
sure.
There was like a Romeo and Juliet where he plays one of the characters in it.
I'm sure. Yeah, he was a strictly a stage actor until he was in his 40s. I mean, Die Hard I think was his if not his first, it was one of his first like actual theatrical roles.
Like his breakout or whatever.
Like no, just like one of his first ones. Okay. Like he did not get into like theatrical acting until later in life. But yeah, no, it was an accidental Rickman marathon, and I am so glad it's happened. It's great.
Also, Kevin Smith's worst movie, Yoga Hosers.
I still haven't seen it.
Because I had to turn it off.
Oh, yeah.
I made it about 10 minutes and I turned it off.
I've heard that one's not great.
I could not take his like teen dialogue, like trying to write for a teen.
Duh.
And the on top of the fact that he's also writing for his daughter.
His daughter. Like,
this is weird.
Yeah, it was weird. Boy, Tusk sure was something, wasn't it?
I liked Tusk.
Never saw that one either.
It was, Tusk, I mean, it was so it was weird good.
That
it was,
I enjoyed it.
It was weird, but yeah, man, that was
And that guy that plays the Tusk guy, I forget mm-hmm. his name, but he's just fantastic.
Oh,
actor.
Yeah, no, he's the best part of that film, but yeah.
If you can make it just for his, like, monologues mm-hmm. and stuff, it's worth it just for that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Kind of the same thing with Red State,
because he's in that too.
He's the preacher in Red State, which right. I think Red State's a good movie.
Red State's fine.
It is a yeah. It is a Red State. I feel like is a little too real for me.
it's good,
like,
in there.
Especially the time it came out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and I was like, ooh,
yep.
I mean, I watched it, and then John Goodman shows it up. I'm like, yes.
So who's looking forward to Moose Jaws?
Heck, I'll watch
his next movie where
I'll
it's Jaws.
Moose Jaws.
But it's a moose.
As long as it's more like Tusk and less like Yoga Hosers.
The Tusk walrus is supposed to fight the Moose Jaws at some point.
Then yeah, I'm down.
Yeah.
I mean, moose are already terrifying as they are.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. They're steroid deer is as big as a house. No, seriously. Moose
they're
are huge.
They're humongous. Yeah.
And they're aggressive and territorial.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Moose Jaws works.
Yeah,
you know, theoretically, if you think about it, you know, it's just as, it could be just as scary as Jaws.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, hey, with that, let's go ahead and take a break. And when we get back, we'll get into a little bit of news.
Hello to all of my friends at Nerd Overload. It's me, Mario. Woohoo! Mamma mia! You guys, you're number one.
Hey, everybody, we're back. That was Weird Al's Dare to Be Stupid, which is a classic. I think it's off UHF album.
Is it UHF? No, it's off of the Dare to Be Stupid album.
Oh.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
Yep, yep.
But it was in UHF.
Yeah, it was in UHF. It was also in the Transformers animated movie.
Yes, it was.
In the 80s, when they went to the Junk Planet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, with Eric Idle as the Junk Planet robot.
Yeah.
That weird sequence.
That's a good movie.
It is a good movie.
I don't like Transformers, and I like that movie.
So anyway, we played that because leading off our news segment for the week, Weird Al is finally, officially getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
It's about darn time.
I mean, he's an institution at this point.
He has
been for years.
I thought he had one. To be honest.
Right?
Yeah, you would think, mm-hmm. but apparently not till now.
Yeah, Ed, you know, people make a huge deal out of this star on the Walk of Fame. It's not really. You basically, there's no like voting process or anything. You basically
buy it.
You buy a space and they make it for you.
Mm-hmm. But Al didn't buy his.
Al didn't buy his.
Fans put money together to do it for him, which is pretty nice.
And that's pretty awesome. That's how it should be done, you know? Because, yeah, if you just buy it for yourself, that seems kind of hollow, if you ask me. Yeah.
Like most of the people's.
Well, yeah. But
they just added Mark Hamill not too long ago, too.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt he paid for that himself either. I don't know.
I don't think he did. And you know what? Adam West, a few years ago, right before he passed, fans, his family raised the money for him. Like, he wasn't doing it himself, but his family bought him a spot.
And he should definitely be on there.
Yeah.
He's also an institution.
Mm-hmm. I feel like if you are like a living embodiment of American pop culture, you need to be on there.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Weird Al definitely.
Weird Al, absolutely. Yeah.
And he's continued
since forever.
He's continued to be relevant since the 80s.
I mean, listen, there have been parody songwriters well before Al, and there's going to be parody songwriters after Al, but
he is the parody songwriter.
Yeah, but they will never be Al.
They will never be Al. When you think of parody songs, Weird Al is the first, like him or not, Weird Al is the first guy you think of.
Everyone knows Weird
Al. You don't
think
of like Alan Sherman. You don't think of like
Dr. Demento.
Any of that stuff. Yeah.
When you think of Weird Al, then the next step is Dr. Demento.
Yeah, right.
And his stuff holds up so well.
Mm-hmm.
It's always
timeless.
Good natured or timeless. Mm-hmm. Even Fat, like I listened to Fat the other day, and I'm like, this probably is going to be kind of offensive.
No.
It's not.
It's not.
It's not.
He does it right.
The character in it is very much proud of his size. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's great. He's great to his fans. He puts on an excellent live concert.
Yeah.
I've seen him a couple times live and got to meet him very, very briefly. Fun fact, if you go to a concert, go around to the back where his tour bus is. He will, for about 20 minutes after the show, he'll just sit on the steps of the bus and talk and sign things.
He always seems like a pretty down-to-earth kind of guy.
Yeah.
His VIP concert packages are actually, like, it's like $200. But compared still, to other bands' packages like that, that's a really good deal.
That's a deal. Absolutely. Yeah. But no, congratulations, Weird Al. I know you're listening. Yeah. I know you're listening to this particular podcast because, you know.
Because you're listening to all podcasts. All podcasts at all times.
Yeah. But no, congrats. That's really awesome. So, do we want to jump into a little bit of game news?
Sure.
We have a couple of things here. Cody, where do you want to start with this stuff?
Let's dip our toes in Super Smash Brothers a little bit since we talked about it so much last week. We'll get it out of the way first.
Let's get it out of the way, yeah.
We mentioned that during that Smash Brothers Direct that they had blurred out part of the menu screen for some sort of game mode mm-hmm. that they weren't ready to reveal yet. Somebody put their Photoshop skills to the test. Mm-hmm. online and managed to unscramble it enough to reveal that the mode was called Spirits.
Yeah.
Do we know what that is? No.
Now, for all we know, Spirits can be a working title for it. Maybe it's not like the final, maybe that was just a placeholder name for the mode. But yes, someone went through and between like going frame by frame and kind of seeing where the, you know, pixels lined up and stuff like that.
I can tell by the pixels.
Yeah. Yeah, I am guessing that it's probably some kind of story mode.
Yeah, that'd be my best
guess. Which is great. It actually makes a lot of sense as to why the last couple of character reveal trailers for this game have involved classic hero characters being taken out or otherwise killed off.
But, yeah.
Think of the Ridley trailer.
Yeah, Mario and Mega Man
were knocked out in... the Castlevania reveal, Luigi was just straight up killed on screen.
In cold blood by death.
Yeah.
Wrecked.
King K. Rool pretty much demolished King Dedede.
Yeah. And all of Donkey Kong's and all of Island.
All of the Donkey Kongs. Yeah. I mean,
he finally got his wish.
So, yeah. I mean, we may be looking at a story mode where maybe a lot of the villains are coming together and... kind of taking out their hero characters.
It's in the one Smash big... Brothers equivalent to the House of Villains.
Yeah, kind of.
Are we going to get some sort of Nintendo Legion of Doom?
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that would be so good. That would be so good.
But yeah, maybe.
Would Wario be in there?
I don't know.
I think
Wario
for the.
Can go either way.
For the.
Wario goes both ways.
I'm sure he does.
Because, I mean, no. He's been a bad guy, but, like, in the Mario 64 remake on DS, he's a playable
guy. He's become more of, like, anti-hero than bad guy, yeah. I think. But in Subspace Emissary, he was definitely a bad guy.
Yeah.
He was on the bad guy team, so I would say, yeah. But, no, I love story modes in fighting games. I think it's great. So
I think that the last Smash Brothers felt kind of hollow without one.
Yeah, I agree. So yeah, I'm all for it. That's cool.
Look, maybe it won't be a story mode at all, and it's just you fighting a computer ghost clone of your however way you fight.
Yeah, that could be.
Kind of like ghost racing in Mario Kart.
Yeah. But no,
it's a battle royale.
Yeah.
100 fighters. Oh, God. 100 fighters enter, one leaves.
God. You know how hard that would be to play?
Oh yeah, Eight is too many. I can't keep track of it when there's 8 players on screen.
Have you guys forgotten fighting Polygon Team?
Oh, yeah.
There is a 1 versus 100 mirror match mode kind of thing.
Easy crazy.
But no, I'm hoping, you know, even if it's not to the entire scale of the last story mode, Subspace Emissary, which was massive. Like, it had a map, and, like, that was...
It was basically a Kirby. It played like a Kirby game.
It was basically a Kirby game, yeah. But even if this is just, like, a cutscene followed by a one-on-one match, or a cutscene followed by a one-on-two match with pre-picked, you know, players on both sides.
Like Melee, but with I don't even need cutscenes, just as long as there's just something.
Yeah. Some kind of story. I like
some meat on those bones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm in. I'm in for it.
Well, they can be cutscenes, even if they're not like fully animated, like expensively produced cutscenes. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, slide around some stills with some text. I don't care.
Sure.
Just give me something.
You know what? It took Capcom almost no time and no money to put together their story mode, and they used in-game assets to do it. It was a fully 3D voice acted situation. I don't know how much voice acting you're going to get out of the characters in this
Smash
game.
Brothers,
Smash
yeah.
Brothers, because Nintendo characters typically do not talk.
Yeah, unless you're like, I guess Wario now.
Wario talks, yeah.
Wario's allowed to say full sentences now.
Yeah, sure.
Oh man, I'm just imagining Mario in full sentences is weirding me out.
It is weird. You can find it. Charles Martinet does it.
Oh well, yeah. I know. Charles Martinet did it for our show. Remember?
Yeah, that's right.
He did a thing. So let's go move on from that, because we did a lot of fighting game talk last week and we can't really stick on that
do
too
we
long.
Do want to talk about ROMs?
You mentioned it. We might as well do it real quick.
I do like Space Knights.
Not ROM Space Knights.
Oh.
A different kind of ROM. The files that are the images of old classic games that people put up on the internet that aren't exactly legal, they're getting harder to get a hold of because Nintendo has cracked down on them.
I mean, yeah, they basically packaged and merchandised their own retro pies, so...
Yeah, but yeah, they've sued a ROM site where people go to obtain these games for free, and that's gone, and then other ROM sites have decided that they're going to just voluntarily take all their stuff down so they don't get in trouble. I mean, which sounds all right, because what they're doing is not exactly legal anyway.
Yeah.
But when you think about it, it really kind of stinks because no one else is doing anything to preserve all of these games that you otherwise couldn't really get.
You know, back when, see, that's the thing. Back when CRT TVs were a little easier to get a hold of, the case could be made that, yeah, if you want to play the game, go buy the system, go buy the game. Even if you find it at a, you know, used game store, whatever. But older hardware is getting harder and harder for older hardware to work on newer televisions.
Yeah.
So we're just flat losing a lot of these classic games. And I mean, Nintendo put out a ton of games and not all of them were AAA, super awesome, memorable games. A lot of them were like kind of junky.
Chester Cheetah.
Yeah. Cool Spot.
Hey, I liked Cool Spot.
But another thing about those games, they'll never deal with the licensing on those games again.
Never going to happen. Not in a million years.
Nobody's going to pay money to give you a chance to play Cool Spot again. It's not worth it.
No.
But it still is an important cultural artifact that needs to be preserved.
Yeah. No one wants to replay Acro the Acrobat.
Ugh.
But it's an important cultural artifact.
But if we don't, if it's not 64. Preserved, then it's it's going to be lost to time.
Yeah, they'll never re-release Superman 64.
No.
But there's value in experiencing Superman 64.
Exactly.
Like watching a bad movie.
Yeah.
That's really bad.
And like a lot of indie developers wouldn't be as good at making games if they didn't have access to this vast library of old games. To know, you know, what works, what doesn't, what you can take from this game or this game and put in your own game. It's a valuable resource.
A lot of indie developers got their starts on ROM hacks, where they would take existing games and change, like go in and manually change assets and things around. So, and we might lose that. And that's a shame.
There's got to be a solution to this problem. And this isn't it.
And, you know, Nintendo is only cracking down on this now because... with their retro systems on the market, it is now in direct competition to the things that they are trying to actively make money on.
Especially since they're so easy to hack into and add games to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Which is really cool if you get a chance to hack one of those classic systems. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely worth it.
Oh, sure. Oh, absolutely. Now, a lot of these websites are disappearing. A lot of this stuff's kind of going. You're never going to see it completely disappear from the internet.
No.
They're always going to be around. It's just going to become harder to find.
You're going to specifically know really where to look.
And you're going to have to go to shadier and shadier websites where you get more and more spyware and exploits and put into your computer from it.
Yeah.
And we've got people like Frank Cifaldi that runs a nonprofit for preserving video games. It's like the Video Game History Foundation or something. So people are trying.
They're trying the best they can,
but they're working an uphill battle on something that is actually kind of important.
Absolutely.
It's like with movies, there's a huge chunk of time where we just don't have those movies anymore.
They're gone. Yeah.
Because the people either threw them away or they got burnt up in a fire.
Mm-hmm.
Because they just didn't think it was value.
Look at Doctor Who.
Value.
Yeah.
How many episodes of Doctor Who are just flat out gone because BBC decided, you know what?
We need these tapes to record some other garbage.
Yeah.
There was also the BBC fire, which ruined a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So luckily there's people, you know, realizing what could happen, but it shouldn't be this uphill of a battle.
Mm-hmm.
So you can still, you know, download Zero the Kamikaze Squirrel if you know where to look.
So this other thing is games related, but it's more like
journalism related.
Kind of, yeah.
Ethics and game. It's literally about ethics and game journalism
Here we go.
Philip Mayushin? Is that how you pronounce it?
Might as well be.
He's a guy that writes for IGN. They found out he's been plagiarizing stuff from other sources on the internet, apparently for a long time.
4 years, yeah. 4 years, and he's gotten called out on it a couple times, but this last one seems to have really stuck.
Yeah, IGN has fired him off of the website and removed a large majority of his reviews because they are plagiarism.
Yeah.
He'll just go find a smaller website,
mm-hmm.
which, compared to IGN, they're all smaller websites. Or a YouTube video essay.
Yeah.
And just almost word for word swipe content and put them in his own reviews.
Yeah, this last one, the one that he got nailed on was for a game, was it Dead Cells?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Switch. Wasn't it like a video? I think it was like a video review.
Yeah, he stole it
from some Brazilian YouTuber.
From like, it was like Boomstick Gaming.
I think they're like Brazilian or something like that. And he basically took the transcript from that and like subbed out a few words here and there. It's like a ninth grade plagiarism 101.
Yeah.
You take a thing that's already been written, you switch out a couple of words, and you present it as your own. And he's gotten away with it for years, and now he finally got stuck.
Good.
Good on IGN to can this guy.
Why do you get into games writing if you don't want to write?
Yeah.
It's bizarre to me. As somebody who writes game reviews, I enjoy writing down my opinion on games. It's why I do it.
And here's the thing. If you didn't like the game, play 30 minutes, write an article about why you didn't like the game, and move on with your life. Piece of cake.
Yeah.
It comes down to this guy couldn't be bothered to do his job. So he took the easy way out.
And his job is not exactly the hardest job out there to begin with.
What
other people do for fun, for downtime.
Yeah, so
I'm not going to say writing games reviews is easy. It's not.
No, I mean, we've all written some reviews here, and it's not
worth risking plagiarism.
Especially when it's the guy's career. It's his main source of income.
And he's at IGN, which is arguably the biggest. That's the big show.
Yeah, it's the biggest one.
And now, because of that, no one will probably hire him.
Oh, yeah, he's done.
He's done, yeah. And you know what?
And he hasn't really owned up to it either. He's done a couple YouTube videos about it, which he also monetized because of course. Oh,
sure. Because he needs to, because now he has no job.
Yeah. So, you know, you got caught. You're a ding-dong,
mm-hmm.
you know.
He got what's coming to him.
Yep.
You ask me. Well,
there is ethics in game journalism.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, to lighten the mood a little bit, I want to talk about Mac and Me.
Are we on Conan? Are you Paul Rudd?
I might be Paul Rudd on Conan. So,
I forgot he does that.
He does that every single time.
Oh, and he hates it.
So, a little backstory. Mac and Me is a cheaply made ET knockoff that was paid for almost entirely by McDonald's.
The name even sounds kind of like E.T.
Mm-hmm. There's an extended scene where he dances with Ronald McDonald in a McDonald's.
Yeah, I haven't during seen the movie, but yeah, I have from seen
the,
that scene.
Yeah, it's from the 80s. The aliens look awful. You might have seen clips used on Conan whenever Paul Rudd shows up on the Conan O'Brien show to promote a movie. They always introduce the clip from the movie, and they always play the same scene from Mac and Me, where the main character, the me, I guess, the human, who is a little boy in a wheelchair, falls off a cliff into a ravine, and Mac looks very confused about it. So anyway, the end of the movie has like a vaguely E.T.-esque ending where something happens to the kid. And Mac, like, does a thing, say, you know, heals the kid, and then leaves with his family to go off into space. That was not the original ending to the film, as it turns out. This has popped up here within the last week or so, and it's crazy. Apparently, there was an original ending that was shot and filmed and deemed too dark for a children's film. So because it was changed it in America, but was released in every other region around the world, including Japan. Japan recently got a Blu-ray copy of Mac and Me.
A Blu-ray released.
And on that, there is a high-def video, and some guy's taken a really crummy video off his phone of it, of a scene in which the police are about ready to shoot Mac, the alien, and his family, and the wheelchair kid, like, goes to wheel out
secret services and
he goes to wheel out to kind of like warn the aliens, and a cop trips over like the bumper of his car and shoots the child in the back, and he dies.
And it's really like, it's graphic.
Dark, it's graphic. Yeah, like the kid like is wheeling like as fast as he can, and he gets shot and he slumps over, but the wheelchair just keeps on sliding. I shouldn't laugh, but it's like, just how
it doesn't fit in this how stupid tonally E.T. knockoff movie. Just yeah.
Out of left field it is in comparison to the rest of the film, which is just a crummy family film. It's crazy to watch. Go look it up online. It's nuts.
Oh man. Oh, Mac and Me. I mean, the kid falling off the cliff wasn't dark enough.
Yeah. Man, yeah, that kid has some bad luck.
The kid has some bad luck. Well, thankfully, when he falls off the cliff, he has the magic ability to turn into an obvious dummy.
Now, don't insult the kid's intelligence.
Oh, that's a good joke.
Nerd overload.
You're fired.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Okay, so moving on from that, a couple of quick hits here. They've cast a number of people for the live-action Lady and the Tramp movie.
That's the thing they're doing, apparently. Which,
it's just another one in the trend of Disney wanting to make live-action versions of all of their animated films.
Stop it.
I hate this.
I mean, listen, I can understand, like, Cinderella.
Yeah.
You know, I can understand Beauty and the Beast, because there's, you know, human characters and like the CG marvel of seeing the beast and like the living like pieces of furniture. I can understand that.
It wasn't that great of a movie.
It wasn't great. Yeah. Like Emma Watson looked like she was bored halfway through it, and she was auto-tuned to hell. But I can understand the thought process behind it. You know what? I can even, okay, I'll give him Jungle Book. It's not great,
but at least there's a kid.
There's a kid. I'll give it to him. Why do we need Lady and the Tramp?
These fully animal casted movies, it doesn't make sense to like, CG, because now you're making a cartoon again.
Who was asking for Lady and the Tramp anyway? There can't be many people on Earth who, when you ask what's your favorite Disney film.
They say,
oh my God, Lady and the Tramp, that scene where those two dogs smooch, can't get enough of it.
Changed my life.
Yeah. Like,
Now I cry into spaghetti every time I eat it.
Yeah, every time I have a good spaghetti.
I mean, heck, you're going to see more. You would have more people say that their favorite movie is Fox and the Hound. Or like Robin Hood, you know, the one, oodly loodly whatever.
Robin Hood is one of my favorites.
Robin Hood is a great movie.
I mean, it's a good movie, but like...
Are they going to remake that with CG furries?
The Great Mouse Detective?
I mean, yeah.
Oh, no, that's a good movie.
That is a great movie.
We're going to see a bunch of CG. CG is a cartoon. It's cartoon.
Yeah.
It looks it's just looks a cartoon. More real, but it's a cartoon, and it's already a cartoon.
Like the Lion King one. I'm like, they keep calling it the live-action Lion King. I'm like, how is it going to be the live-action Lion King?
Why do this? Why do this now if they're wanting to remake all of their 2D animated movies into 3D animated
films?
Why
are they already at the bottom of the barrel?
Why are they picking from the bottom and working their way up?
Have you seen the Dumbo trailer?
Yeah.
Oh, it's bad.
It's not good.
Tim Burton,
but
so...
I'm done. I'm done with Tim Burton.
Big Eyes was really good.
Big Eyes was all right, but like by and large, his larger studio films, like Tim Burton has like a one for me, one for you kind of thing, where he does one that he is behind and the one that he does for the studios to kind of make up the losses from the ones that he wanted to do. And like the studio ones that he does, I'm done. I'm out.
It's kind of funny because he's kind of come full circle because he used to work for Disney.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Like Lady and the Tramp. Come on. Where's
Little Mermaid?
Yeah, exactly. Where's Little Mermaid?
Have it compete directly with Aquaman.
That would be awesome. And you know what? Little Mermaid would win.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I'd see a live action Little Mermaid before the Aquaman film.
Honestly,
and I love Aquaman.
I
just
Little
not this particular Aquaman.
Little Mermaid's a good movie.
Yeah.
Who would play Ariel?
Anybody.
Anybody.
Amy Adams.
I mean, they're not going to talk for half the movie.
Yeah. No, actually, I think Amy Adams. She would be. She'd make a good Ariel because she, you know, she did that movie where she was the like animated princess that came to the real world anyway. So
Enchanted.
She has the act down.
Enchanted. That was a pretty good movie, actually.
Yeah. She also, you know, has a very expressive face. So all the scenes without the voice,
all the miming that
all the miming.
To do, yeah.
Yeah. The question is, who would be Ursula? Like,
because Divine isn't.
Do you just go ahead and cast John Travolta? Have him reprise his role as the Divine character in another film because he was the Divine character in Hairspray. Yeah.
Oh man.
I forgot
about that.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
They wouldn't do that.
No.
It's too interesting.
Yeah.
And if we know anything about these Disney
the most
remakes,
obvious choice.
They're not interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, the news here is that they've cast a bunch of people, including Tessa Thompson, who was Valkyrie in Thor 3 as Lady Lady
cool.
and the Tramp.
I like and she's
that's,
fantastic.
That's cool. She's great.
She's voicing a CG Cocker Spaniel.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I just don't understand why Lady and the Tramp.
Yeah.
I mean.
I feel like tier-wise of Disney films, it's pretty low down there.
Yeah.
It's lower mid.
Mm-hmm.
Like.
It's not quite Aristocats.
Yeah.
But it's close. It's not quite Oliver and Company.
One of the few Disney movies I've only seen once.
Oliver and Company is awful.
It's rough.
Oh, it's so bad.
Aristocats is great, though. I love that movie.
Oh, really?
That was one of my favorites when I was a kid.
Oh, see, I didn't watch a whole lot.
Songs, yeah. You also don't like cats.
I don't like cats. This is well known. Anyway, that is all for this week, so we're going to have to wrap things up. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
Hey, do you do social media? Do you do Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, Instagram? You can find us there at Nerd Overload Now.
You can send us an email at staff@nerdoverload.com. You know, ask questions, we'll answer them on air. Give us your Smash Brothers predictions, whatever you want.
Tell us what movies Disney shouldn't do.
Yeah, or should.
Or should, yeah, why not? That'd be interesting.
You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel, Nerd Overload TV.
Mm-hmm. Yep, just do a search for Nerd Overload over there, that's fine. We are also on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, anywhere that you can find a podcast. You can find our show. You can go back and listen to some of the older episodes. You can go all the way back to the beginning if you want. Back to the tail end of 2011. those many, many, many years ago, we've been doing it for that long, I wouldn't recommend it.
No, I mean, it's probably real rough.
It's real rough. I listened to the first one the other day. It's real rough, but you can do it.
I don't even think we wrote down what we were going to talk about.
No, we rambled for 45 minutes. It was rough.
Hey, some of them were done in the car.
Some of them were done in the car. That's right, while we were driving. Also, do you like t-shirts? Do you like to wear things? Because guess what? We have t-shirts. Go to our store. It's either on our homepage. There's a button for our store. Or you can go to bit.ly/nerdoverloadt. That's Nerd Overload T-E-E. It's the best we can do. Yeah, I tried.
Every t-shirt you buy supports us and keeps us making this show.
Yep. Keeps the lights on. You know, keeps
Plus,
us...
they're quite fashionable.
They are. They're very nice.
Yeah, I'm wearing one right now. And I love it.
See, there you go. Yeah. Comfortable? Not chafing the nips?
Not at all.
Not at all. Perfect.
They're only slightly bleeding, but they do that all the time.
Just do that anyway. Okay, good. Good, good. All right. Well, anyway, thank you all for tuning in this week, and we will be back next week.
Peace out.